Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise. But first, here's his message. How does God communicate with us?
God has chosen to speak to you and to me so that we would know clearly and specifically who He is and how we could know Him. The very nature of God extends His grace and His love and His message of hope and life to all of us. God has been speaking through the centuries. Now, it's very important for us to know God because all morality and all human behavior is a result of knowing God. Now, if the doctrines of agnosticism and atheism and humanism find their way into our society, then we're in for dark days in America and in the world. Because, again, I say, morality and values are rooted in the presence and the person of God. If there is no God, there is no basis for family values or national values. There's no authority for right and wrong. And Nazi Germany is an example of this horrible truth that where God is absent, where there is no God, all manner of atrocities and evil are perpetrated. And it's just a short step from atheism and humanism to the gas ovens of Germany. That's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God has been revealing Himself. God has been speaking to the world. He wants to be known. And there are four fantastic revelations of God, demonstrations of God, the ways in which God communicates and speaks to us, which are given to us here in Psalm 19. Now, it's important as we read these verses that we remember we are accountable to the light that God has given us. All men have the light of God, as we'll see in our text. All men are responsible to the light, the revelation that God has given them. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 19 that light has come into the world, yet men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, and therefore they are condemned. Men love darkness rather than light. Sometimes people throw up a smoke screen and say, oh, I don't believe in God, or I'm not sure there is a God. And so often that's simply an excuse for a lifestyle and a behavior that is anti-God and a dark, sinful lifestyle that then is rationalized by saying, well, I don't believe there is a God, or I don't know if there's a God. Most of the time, people who say they don't believe in God, it's not a mental problem. That is that they cannot believe. It's a moral problem. They will not believe. That's what Jesus said. So remember, you are accountable to the light that you have been given. And let's read of that light in Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the word. Now let's just stop right there and keep your Bibles open to Psalm 19. But let's see first that God speaks in the skies. God speaks in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. God has spoken to everyone in the skies. We could call this the sermon of the stars. We can know God. We can see the light of God simply by looking up into the heavens. In fact, the Greek word for man in the ancient world and in your New Testament is anthropos, which means the upward looking one. Dogs look down, animals look down, but God created us to look up into the heavens and there to see the glory of God and to experience the power of God in the creation. God has spoken in the starry skies. Napoleon was once listening to some of his soldiers debate the existence of God, and Napoleon pointing to the stars, he said, before you deny God, you'll have to get rid of these. Indeed, the heavens declare the glory of God. The psalmist says, day unto day, night unto night, they are constantly, continually, eternally speaking. And when we look into the creation, we know that because there is a creation, there must be a creator. Now, how foolish it is to believe what the atheist or the unbeliever says he believes. And that is that nothing times nothing equals everything. Now, if you believe that this creation, just this world, was created by a bolt of lightning into dark primordial mud, I believe that is a greater leap of faith than to believe that God Almighty created the heavens and the earth. No wonder the scripture says the fool has said there is no God. Have you ever looked at the stars and let God speak to you? I remember as a young boy laying out on a Texas night and looking up into the heavens and beyond into the heavens and just knowing and experiencing the greatness and the glory and the grace of God and peering into the heavens. What do the stars teach us? What do the stars say about God? Well, the stars speak of the glory of God. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So often the psalmist David, the shepherd king, would look into the heavens as I did as a young boy, and he would write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit psalms of hymn and praise and adoration to the God that he saw out in the beauty of creation. He said in Psalm 148 and verse 3, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of the light. Why did God create the stars? When you read the creation account, it's an amazing story of how God created in 6 days the heavens and the earth. And each day he would make something different and something new. And it's always so almost amusing to me when it speaks of God creating the stars after creating the heavens and the earth. It simply says, and he made the stars also. And why did he make the stars? The Bible tells us. The stars hang in the heavens to give glory to God. They twinkle like diamonds to express the beauty of God and his creation. These speak of the glory of God. Hymn writers often spoke and wrote of these themes. Fairer is the sunshine. Fairer is the moonlight and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter. Jesus shines purer than all the angels in heaven can boast. The stars speak of our Savior and all of his beauty and all of his glory. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, said, I never behold the stars, but that I feel that I am looking into the face of God. Again, I say I cannot conceive of how an individual can look into the creation of God and see what God has made and say that there is no God. Ridiculous. The heavens declare the greatness of God. The stars speak of the greatness of God as well as the glory of God. The infinite universe speaks of the infinite God who made it all. Everything is of such creation and beautiful order and design. You know, the nearest star in our galaxy is Proxima Centauri. It is 4.5 light years away, the nearest star. Now, remember from your science days, your science classes, how fast does light travel? 186,000 miles per what? Per second. That means in 2 seconds, just like that, traveling at the speed of light, you would be at our moon. 1, 2. Just like that to the moon. Now, the nearest star that we have discovered is 4.5 light years away. Light years, not light seconds. Light years away. And there are billions of stars and galaxies This speaks of the glory of God. One of the physicians in our church spoke to me. He said, yes, and you see the same thing when you look into the microscope. He said, in a 747 airplane, there are 1 million working parts in a 747, something that man has made. And that's a marvel, isn't it? But he said, in a DNA molecule, there are, the molecular weight of the DNA molecule is 3 million pounds. So we see the glory of God, but we also see the greatness of God. We see the greatness of His wisdom, that God is in control of all the things that He has made. We see the greatness of His power. Paul said in Romans 1:21, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power. Paul was arguing that any person can look into the heavens and must be therefore responsible to the light that he has been given. That all men are judged guilty because God has clearly spoken in His creation. Oh, what power there is in the stars. Our sun, for example, burns energy at the rate, an incredible rate. For example, one solar flare releases energy from the sun at the rate that is equal to 100 million hydrogen bombs. That's just a little solar flare from our sun. If the earth was burning energy at the same rate as our sun, the earth's energy would be gone in 3 days. That's how powerful the stars in the heavens really are. It is written in the skies. My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. He's a God of might and miracles. It's written in the skies.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and the message, How Does God Communicate with Us? Right now, it feels a bit like our world is coming apart at the seams. And as believers in Christ, it's critical we clearly represent a biblical worldview to a watching world and bring the healing and hope that's so desperately needed. We want to equip you to provide the answers our world is asking for by sending you Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise. It's our thanks for your gift today to help take the healing power of the gospel to more people around the world. So please call today to give and request your copy of CultureWise. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message. How does God communicate with us?
The stars speak of the glory of God. The stars speak of the greatness of God. But something else, the stars speak of the grace of God. Yes, they do. Because God uses infinite space to teach us infinite grace. Listen to Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. And as we have contemplated just for a few moments, the outer reaches of space, the height of the heavens, and then we realize God loves me, and of all the planets and of all the people on the planet, God has chosen this planet, and God has chosen you and me, and He loves us, and He sent His Son to die on the cross for you, for me. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And all you have to do is to look up into the heavens and there to see in the height of the heavens the grace, the infinite reach of the steadfast love of God. It's day unto day and night unto night. His grace has no measure. His love has no boundaries known unto men. For out of the infinite riches of Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Yes, the skies speak, the stars speak of the grace, the glory, the grandeur, the greatness of our God. But God did not stop with the skies. That is what we would call a general revelation. God speaking in creation. But God has spoken beyond creation. And God has spoken to us specifically, perfectly, in the Scriptures. And that's what we read in verse 7 of Psalm 19. Look at it. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now the psalmist turns from the skies to the Scriptures and tells us that God has spoken to us in His Word, the Word of God. For it is in the Scriptures that we learn who God is and what God is doing and why God is doing certain things. If we just looked into the skies, that would be a partial revelation of God. But in the Scriptures, we see the perfect revelation of God. That's why we believe the Bible is the living Word of God. Inerrant, that is without error, infallible, perfect in all of its truth, eternal and inspired. That's why the psalmist said, the Word of God, the law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. It is pure. It is complete. It is absolute. I believe, in the plenary verbal inspiration of the Bible. Plenary means all of the Bible is inspired. For 2 Timothy 3:16 says, another great 3:16 in the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is inspired by God. Now, that doesn't mean that all Scripture is as inspiring to you as one particular Scripture. For example, Psalm 23 may be more inspiring to you than Leviticus 7. But to say that the Bible is all inspired means that Leviticus 7 is just as inspired as John 3:16 or Psalm 23. All of the Bible is the Word of God. It is inspired. It is infallible. It is inerrant. That means that it is verbally inspired. Not that God simply inspired the thoughts and men wrote it down as Shakespeare wrote down thoughts and ideas. Not that the Bible is simply a human book about divine subjects. But rather, God breathed. You say, well, how did God do that? Peter tells us that God breathed and men were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The picture there is of a sail catching wind, a boat. And sails catching wind and the wind blowing. And just as the boat was carried along by the wind, so were the writers of Scripture carried along by the Holy Spirit. So that when they wrote with their vocabularies and their human background and personalities, but they wrote the very words of God. And the Bible does not contain one syllable that God did not want in the Word of God. And the Bible does not omit one syllable that God did not want in the Word of God. You see, this is God's truth. This is God's Word. And I'm going with Jesus on this subject. And Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus went on to say that not a jot or a tittle of my word shall pass away. And a jot and a tittle were the smallest markings of the Hebrew language, much like an apostrophe or a period. He said, not a jot, not a tittle of my word will pass away. You say, well, how do we know that we have the Word of God? Because I've seen the changed lives of people who have come face to face with Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. When I was a teenager in our church in Sagamore Hill Baptist Church in Fort Worth, several of us went on a mission trip down to South Texas. And I remember we would go door to door in these impoverished areas on the border between Texas and Mexico, down in Brownsville, and we were passing out copies of the Bible, and we were young preachers. We would watch as the people would take the Word of God in their language and begin to read it. And in particular, I remember, I'll never forget the face of this older Hispanic man who was sitting on his porch at the end of the week. We were having Bible schools with the children, And we kept watching him through the week as he was just poring over the scripture that we'd given him in the Spanish language. And on the last day, we walked over there and we spoke to him through an interpreter. And we asked him what he had learned in the book. And here was a man who had been steeped in a traditional religion, but didn't know Jesus. And he'd now been reading the Word of God. And he said to us in his language that I've discovered God in this book. I've met Jesus Christ in this book. And the face of that man, when I was 17 or 18 years old, is still in my mind and my memory today. That's why I preach the Bible. That's why I teach the Bible. Because of the power of the gospel, the power of the Word of God to change lives. God speaks in the skies. God speaks in the scriptures. And then very quickly, God speaks in the Spirit, and by His Spirit. Look at verse 14 of this chapter 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He speaks here of the meditation of the heart. He speaks of the reflection of the heart and our ability to relate to God by meditating upon the things of God. How does that happen? Because God speaks through His Spirit. God speaks externally through the skies. God speaks eternally through the scriptures. But God speaks internally by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which takes the Word of God and takes the light of creation and interprets that to us so that we can understand, so that our eyes will be open to the Word of God, so that we can comprehend and take hold for ourselves. God speaks. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. And God did not speak just in the skies and just in the scriptures, but He continues to speak through His Spirit. He does not add revelation to His Word, the Bible. But He takes the Bible, and this is the miracle of illumination. And He helps us to understand and to know, and He leads us by His Spirit day by day. God has given you the spiritual capacity to hear from Him and to know Him. Why? Because ultimately and finally, God has spoken to us in Jesus Christ. He is God's final and full revelation. Hebrews tells us that in these last days, God has spoken to us in His Son. When God said Jesus, He said it all. You want to hear what God is saying? Listen to Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus Christ. If you want to know God, know Jesus Christ. The writer of Revelation said He is the Alpha and Omega, which means the A and the Z. Alpha, the first letter. Omega, the last letter in the Greek alphabet. He's the A and the Z. He's the alphabet of God. All that God has said from A to Z, you know, all human language can be contained in A to Z in the English language. All the encyclopedias, all the books. We're living in the communication age. You can turn on a computer and be in touch with the world, the World Wide Web and so forth. All this communication, all the information age, all of this is pounding the brains of people everywhere. And yet, all of the information of the world, all the wisdom is condensed in the A to the Z, the Alpha Omega, the person of Jesus Christ. And when you know Him, you know what life is about. You know what eternity is about. Because you know God. You know Jesus Christ. The fear of the Lord is the beginning wisdom. Know God. Trust His Son, Jesus Christ, and you will have connected to the God of glory.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and the message, How Does God Communicate with Us? A lot of Christians are asking right now, what can I do to help turn our culture around? The answer is you can bring the healing power of the gospel into the public square. And we want to help you do that by sending you Dr. Graham's book, CultureWise, as thanks for your gift today. You'll discover what God's Word says about issues like the sanctity of human life, evolution, and other big topics facing our culture today, so you can be equipped to be a loving influencer for Christ. So call now and give to help mend our broken culture with the gospel and request your copy of CultureWise. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Psalm 19, 1 through 4 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their measuring line goes out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." You see, God does speak to us today. He speaks to us in the skies through his creation. We can know God. We can see the light of God by simply looking up into the heavens and knowing that he is there. The Greek word for man in the ancient world and in your New Testament is anthropos, which means the upward looking one. Animals look down, but God created us to look up into the heavens and to see his glory and experience his power in creation. Yes, indeed, God speaks to us in the starry skies. Indeed, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the psalmist says, day to day pours out speech and night to night offers knowledge. Creation is constantly and eternally speaking. And when we look into the creation, we know that because there is a creation, there is in fact a creator. Now, you may not be a morning person, but I would encourage you, if you want to catch a glorious glimpse of your Creator, get up early one morning this week and watch that sun rise. And I can assure you, you will marvel at His handiwork, the handiwork of His creation, and it will speak wonders to your soul.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Jack Graham's book, CultureWise, as our thank you. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. On the next PowerPoint, Dr. Graham brings a message about why you can trust in God's inerrant word. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.